We're back. This is 180. I'm your host, Carl Clausen. We continue our discussion, and if you've been here week to week at this time, boy, you have been in for a treat. If you're brand new to 180, hang on. I have with me George Koch, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. Get a copy. We're walking through some deep woods right now. I was going to call it weeds, but it's not weeds. It's woods, because you're looking around going, wow, God is great. We're discussing heresy, and you might think, come on, how can that be great? Because clarity is a good thing. George is the pastor of Rez Church in West Chicago, and they're a dynamic little body that is committed to loving the world well, and they're doing it. George, good to have you back.
Carl, thank you for having me.
We see something happening in our culture today, George, that is interesting. We see an attempt to both denigrate Christ on one hand and all things moral. And then there's this unique thing on this other side where there's an attempt to almost blend with the message of evangelical Christianity. It's an interesting dichotomy, isn't it?
It is. In a previous age, we would have called it syncretism and would have understood
right.
that it's not a good thing. But these days, it seems that anybody you can get to go along with you should be a good thing. I'm saying that ironically. When it really isn't.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the last presidential cycle, obviously, Mitt Romney was a big name that came to the forefront. He was a Mormon. And it's amazing what politics can do to people. Politics is an amazing elixir. It can make a sane person quite crazy in a New York second. And one of the things that was very interesting is that several evangelicals really claim to Mitt Romney and his positions. And one of the things that some people began to rationalize, and I think it sent a communication across the nation, is that Mormonism and Christianity are basically the same thing.
Right.
What say you, George Koch?
Well, that's an issue, and it's an issue both of heresy and heterodoxy, and just to define those two
quickly.
Let's get
those definitions again.
Heresy means to cause division. Heterodoxy means to have your doctrine wrong. You can cause division with wrong doctrine, so easily understood, but you can also cause heresy. You can cause division with right doctrine if it's wielded sinfully, in a mean-spirited way. So causing division in the body of Christ, that's the underlying meaning of heresy. Heterodoxy is the primary presenting issue, and certainly with Mormonism. And so let me take just a minute and talk about what Mormons believe.
Yes.
Because most Christians don't understand the first thing about Mormonism. They know that they're sort of like Christians, but they're not sure exactly what those distinctions might be. And I grew up, my best friend was a Mormon, and he even took me to his church a couple of times, and I got to experience what that's like. And the Mormons really stand for what we would consider normative Christian values in the public sphere.
No doubt about it.
They really fight for them and go to bat for them. They also do something which I find extremely valuable, and which I think we ought to just steal wholesale. And that is, they have a family night set aside every week on Thursday night. You don't do anything else except stay together with your family on that night. You don't go out. You don't use your cell phone. You don't do sports. You don't go to movies. You stay home with your family. An equivalent of the Jewish Shabbat.
Sure.
And what used to be the Christian Sabbath on Sunday. Although we largely have let that go by the wayside.
Yes.
Of the Ten Commandments, all of which we think are still important, the fourth one, it's sort of optional, and that's to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
You're right about that.
Well, the Mormons do that, though, and we should give them credit for that. But it stands on top of a way of understanding the world and the Bible, which we would find quite different from what any Christian denomination.
How is that, George?
Well, here's the first one, and this may be a surprise. Their idea of who God is, they believe that the God of this earth was previously a human being, a man, like you or me, man, male, not male or female, a man, on another planet somewhere else in space. And that because he conducted his life on that Earth properly, which means that he had a wife and many children, and he obeyed all 633 commandments. The Jews see 613, Mormons 633, if you're counting. He got his own planet. Or maybe said more accurately, if you're a Mormon man today and you obey all 633 commandments, you have a wife and children, and you prosper in this world, your reward after death is to be the god of another earth, which you and your wife will then populate.
Okay, George, I've studied a lot. I understand that Brigham Young, others perjured themselves in courts of law. I know a lot about basic Mormon theology. I never heard this.
Really?
I never heard that.
Wow.
My question is, why are things like that buried? I knew about the issue of Godhead and perfection, but I didn't know about planets and all that. That's clearly, they don't lead with that.
They don't lead with that because it would scare people away. What they lead with is family values and their view of the importance and the strength of the family and of living holy lives, and all of those are good things. But the reason that it's done is so that if you are a man, you will earn by your behavior in this life a reward in the next life, which is a planet of your own to be the god of. And they believe that the god of this planet,
okay,
who we worship,
yes,
was actually a man on a previous planet and,
okay,
and lived his life perfectly.
So the most fundamental building block in this thing is flawed from the get-go.
Right.
Okay. What this does then to the Jesus of this man that was good, who sent his son? They must mean that Jesus was sent from this perfected man.
Absolutely right.
Who now has his planet called
Absolutely
Earth.
Absolutely right. And they also teach that Satan was Jesus' brother.
Yes.
And it was competition between Jesus and Satan that caused Satan to rebel and to leave the heavenly realms where the two of them were and to descend to the earth. And they also taught until very recently, and they've only just began adjusting their public statements on this, that folks who were dark-skinned on this earth were descendants of the other brother, not of Jesus.
And that's why they didn't let African-Americans into the church.
They would not let them become priests because they believed that they were descended from the other side and not from Jesus.
That's a Dutch heresy in South Africa still, that still alienates African-Americans. It's a tragic theology. Founded nowhere in Scripture. This rocks a lot of people that are listening right now, because a lot of the party line from the Mormons, I'm not trying to denigrate them by saying that, but I'm trying to be accurate, is that Jesus is the Savior of the world and that you receive salvation by trusting in Him. The problem is, we're not talking about the same Jesus, are we, George?
Well, and it's worse than that. They actually believe that Joseph Smith, who was the founder of Mormonism, is the final judge of who's allowed into heaven and who's not. So that when you die and leave this earth, you are judged by Joseph Smith and given a yes or a no by him.
Now, an interesting question I have, and that is, how do we deal with this kind of a blatant heresy that cloaks itself in light?
Well, and you're right in calling it heresy, because it actually divided the church.
Yes.
And those folks who went off to Mormonism were divided off from the body of Christ. Those that are cut out of the pack, if you would, and drawn over there, that is genuine heresy, because it's dividing the body
yes.
of Christ. And I think the way that it has to be dealt with is, first of all, by knowing what it is that they believe. If we just don't look any further, don't look into the Book of Mormon, and don't look into their theologies or the practice of having an apostle whose word is final for all Mormons today, we allow it to go unchecked. And
yeah.
I think that's very, very unwise.
More of this next week. Some of you are saying, oh my goodness, we just got started. Get a copy of the work, What We Believe and Why. You can get it at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. George, thank you.
You're welcome, Carl.
180, your life, a new direction.